Please turn with me tonight to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 55. And I'm reading verse 6 and 7. The prophet Isaiah, 55, verse 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Abundant pardon for seekers. That's my title tonight. There is abundant pardon, abundant forgiveness, abundant mercy for seekers and sinners, for all of us, believers and those who have never sought and found the Lord. Are you a seeker? Are you somebody who really wants to have fellowship with the living God? This is your verse. This is your verse. Verse 6 and 7, you can take them as one verse. Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him, while he is near. Very simple, very simple. Nothing complicated. A child can understand. No need of Latin to understand Latin or grammar or syntax. Nothing as such. Every word is important. Isaiah 55, I'm sure many of you know that, is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. A great chapter. And it tells us about the free offer of the gospel. And when we speak about the gospel, we speak about the good news. Good news of victory from heaven to earth, to sinners on earth. That's how you have to explain good news. It is God in such a great condescendence coming into this sin-sick world to humble himself, to be born like each one of us, to walk on this earth, and finally, in spite of all his beauty, in spite of all the miracles he has done, in spite of the good, wonderful teaching he has given to people, they said, unanimously, crucify, crucify. We said the same. You and me, if we were there, I often, when I read that passage, I often say, if I was there, I would shout even louder, crucify him, crucify him. But at the same time, he was crucified on that cross for every repenting sinner. So this is really what this chapter is all about. A great chapter in the Bible. It speaks about the good news, but the chapter uses such senses as hunger and thirst to illustrate, to picture for you and me the vital, the crucial, and the important need of our souls. That's really how you have to look at it. Your soul needs something vital, not just food, not just raiment, not just work, not just even life, not just existence, but we need spiritual life. And as you go through the Bible, undeserving sinners and unworthy sinners, we are called to the heavenly banquet of God. I don't have time to go into the verses. We read them in our first reading. But this is God's heavenly invite to his banquet. And throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, at least 600 times, you find the word come, come, come. Come to light, come to love, come to life, come to eternal life, come to everlasting life, come to abundant life. Come to the waters, Christ said. And in Matthew chapter 11, he said, Come unto me. Come unto me for meaningful and purposeful life, not an insignificant, unsubstantial life, but abundant life, real life. This is the life which starts here while you are still in this world. But it is called everlasting life, life without end. That's what the Lord Jesus is given to us. So as we come to these two verses, my dear friends, I will not find exact words really to show you the deepness, the profundity of these two verses. But all you need to be saved are in these two verses. They are deep, they are great, they are wide, they are large, but they are wonderful and personal. It's not just God speaking to a crowd, but God speaks to us individually, one by one. That's the beauty of the gospel again. One by one we come to this to salvation. And God will judge us also one by one. So, in a sense, you find here in this chapter, just the seven verses, the seven first verses, you can check it for yourself. I'm giving you the minimum. You find 12 imperatives, 12 commands. And if you allow me, if you follow the 12 commands, not the preacher giving you a command, God forbid, but the word of God, God himself speaking, is giving us at least a minimum of 12 commands. You can check them from verse 1 to 7 later. And if you want even a quick list, it says come. That's the first one. It says buy. It says eat. It says hearken, delight, incline your ear, hear, behold, seek, call, forsake, return. All these imperatives are there to show you the staircase to salvation. How can I be saved? God made it simple. He made it relevant. He made it reliable. God is approachable. That's really what's going on in this passage. And I have five headings just to explain again what's happening in these two verses. And the first thing I would like to speak about, look at the verse. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The first thing I want you to note is the inviter. Who is inviting you? A king? A queen? A mere man? A prophet? No, more than that. This is God himself speaking to us. It is God who is speaking to us with great compassion, with great tenderness. Please look at the first word in the chapter. Just the first word. It is an exclamation, but it is really a word which shows you the tenderness, the compassion, the graciousness, the love of God. And he says, "Ho!" It is a word of commiseration. If I may put it in today's words, it means, "Ah, what are you doing? What are you doing to your soul? Why do you harm yourself?" The meaning is really, do you see? Do you understand? Do you grasp what is at stake? That's really the meaning of that first word. It's not just there by chance. God is like stopping us. It is his way of arresting us, arresting our souls, and saying, you must stop and consider something greater in this life. Why? God made us, and one day we shall all be accountable before him. All of us. So God is speaking to us in this passage. It is God, the inviter. He's the one who is saying, come. He's the one who is saying, take. He's the one who is saying, buy of me. Of course, God has nothing to sell. God is not a trade man. He is a giver. But he's saying, come, and he speaks to us. In speaking to us, he's saying, do you see in verse 1, 2, and 3 how many times the word come? At least 4 times. Repeatedly, again and again. Please don't look at it just as a command. You know, even when a parent is insisting on his child, will you come? Come, it's time. It's time to go. It's time to consider the things of this life. So God is calling us with that tender heart. And he says, come to the salvation. Come to this salvation. Why are you harming yourself? Why do you hurt your soul? Why do you hurt your life? What is the purpose of life without God? Is it just to live and then when the end comes, that's it? No, there is more than that. God loves what he has created. He loves his creation. So in the passage, you can see God is inviting us. Come to this salvation. It is a matter of life and death. It is a matter of life and death. But the word seek there is a very interesting word. I can amplify it if you allow me to do so. The first word in verse 6, when it says seek, we can add something. Seek diligently. Seek fervently. Seek sincerely. Seek wholeheartedly. That's really what's the meaning there. It's not that, you know, sometimes you ask a child to go and find something, and the child very soon comes back. Oh, I seeked, I looked at for it everywhere. It's not there. Have you really checked well? Go back again. Sometimes we need four eyes, not just two. It's there. So seek diligently. But allow me also to replace, just for the convenience of what we are trying to achieve, because it is a matter of life and death, as we said, when God is speaking to us through the prophet by saying, seek ye the Lord, really the meaning is believe on the Lord. Trust on the Lord. Yield your life on the Lord. Submit to the Lord. All these words, you see, this is really a pregnant word. A lot is in it. Seek ye the Lord, trust the Lord, believe on the Lord, yield your life unto the Lord. Put and place your faith on the Lord. Why? We are a million miles away from God. You see, even the word seek, it means God is far from us. We are far from him. We are separated. We are so far from him. There is no way to be related to him. That's the first thing. Who is inviting us? Who is speaking to us? God himself. And he says, come to salvation. Now, I must look at the second thing. Look at the urgency. It is urgent. There is poetry. I'm sure you know the Hebrew in the text, that there is what we call synonymous parallelism, where actually it means, it's very simple, it means to say the same thing twice just for the sake of emphasis. So in verse 6, God is actually saying to us the same thing but with different words to show how this is important. Can I read it for you again? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That's one. And the parallel now of the same with different words is in the second part. Call ye upon him while he is near. My dear friends, God is not far. God hasn't moved anywhere. He is everywhere. We have moved. We are the ones that have been contaminated. We have brought these things upon ourselves. So God is determined and he is active by calling us, seek ye the Lord. There is a way to find him. It's interesting. It doesn't say seek happiness. Seek success. Seek experience. We live in a world where people, I want experience, I want adventure, I want good health, I want happiness, I want success, I want good feelings, good moods, a good day of good feelings, or God was with me today. We live in what I often call a microwave Christianity. I want it now, right now. If I don't get it now, it means my life is upside down. But the verse doesn't say seek happiness. Seek ye the Lord. You see where the vital part is? I must seek the Lord. That is really what is so important. And I must seek him because there is urgency. My dear friends, the clock is running. Time is flying. We do not know how long we have to live or we are to remain in this world. So seeking the Lord is not a matter of one day. It is a matter of today. It is a matter of right now. You cannot pick and choose the day because the day doesn't belong to you. No preacher should tell you how long you have. And Bible says that God will not always strive with the human heart, which means you do not have eternity to find the Lord. It is urgent right now. And the passage, you can see, it is in the present tense. Seek ye the Lord right now. Call upon the name of the Lord right now. And even the word seek again, I could replace it by study the Lord right now. Don't study the Lord just to know about him. You know, many people, and this is the problem with all of us, we know about God, but we do not know God for ourselves. But the Bible, in order to be a believer, in order to be a Christian, I must know God experientially. I must know God personally. I must know the person of God, not just things about God. And to know God, there is no greater gain. To know him personally, to interact with him, to relate to him like a son to a father. This is what the Bible is all about. I can be a new person with a new heart, with new character. My sins are forgiven. And I know when life comes to an end from this world, I know where I'm heading to. Salvation, to be with the Lord, Paul could say, is far better. So that's the second thing I want to put before you. There is urgency. Please do not delay it. You do not know what is awaiting for you and me, even tonight. Tonight, Bible says, today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. But thirdly, there is a problem. So, though I'm doing the best to make you to understand it, it is so simple, there is a problem with you and me. Look at now verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Oh, there is no wicked among us tonight. There is no unrighteous among us tonight. But if I say that, I'm flattering you. And God forbid that I teach falsehood. God forbid that I tell you anything that is not true. Do you see how God sees us? The wicked, the unrighteous, the sinner, the transgressor. That's our name before God. We have sinned against him. We have spoiled his creation. We have damaged ourselves because we said there is no God. We are our own gods. Everyone has his own pope, actually. And the greatest pope is you and myself. That's the greatest pope in your life. But God is saying, we are all wicked. We are all unrighteous, all of us, without exception. That's why we are depraved, Bible says. We need reconciliation. We need cleansing. We need to be reconciled with the living God. We are wicked in our ways. The text says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. But we are also unrighteous in our thoughts. You see, it's the way we take, the way we have taken leads us to perdition without the Lord Jesus Christ. But in our thoughts also, there are many things we do not express verbally, but deep down in our thoughts, we are against God. We will not say, God, we hate you, but the way we think makes us to hate God. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. We all think highly about ourselves. We are vicious. We are full of excuse. Within ourselves, our nature is corrupt. And that's why we cannot have fellowship with God. But God says, seek ye the Lord. Call upon him. It's today, not tomorrow, not next year, because we do not know how long we are to live in this world. But maybe you thought this is negative. Now the fourth thing, look at the condition God has put. There is a condition for you and me to be related to God. So first thing, I spoke about the inviter. God is inviting us. He's speaking to us. The second thing, it is urgent. While God is still at hand, while God is still near, while God is at proximity, while God is not far from you, he is here with you. You hear his word. You hear the testimony of his word. And the third thing, our state, our condition, our plight, our problem, we are wicked and unrighteous. So God is putting a condition for you and me to be forgiven. Remember our title? We said, Abundant Pardon for Seekers. If you are a seeker, here is the condition God is putting before you and me. And in verse 7 again, God says, let him, let the wicked, let the unrighteous man return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. So there is hope for us. But God put the condition. And the condition is very simple. My dear friends, God is kind. God is good. He is gracious. He even gives us how to respond. There are many things. When you are given an exam, most of the time you are not helped at all. And you have to face the exam. If you have done your homework, that's it. Maybe you have forgotten certain things, or you studied where you shouldn't have studied, and at the time of the exam, the teacher there is not willing to help you. But that's not the case with God. He gives us his conditions, but he helps us also to find the answer. What is God saying? You see the text in verse 7. God says, let him return unto the Lord. This is a wonderful picture of what we call repentance. I'm sure many hundreds in this church have heard that word repentance. Without repentance, no one will be saved. Without trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, no one will be saved. But repentance has one negative side and one positive side. And it's here explained to us. The negative and the positive. What is the negative? The first thing when we speak about repentance, please, this is, hearken, please. This is so important. And repentance, the negative part is, I must forsake myself. I must forsake my attitude, my righteousness, my way of thinking, my philosophy, my opinion. Nothing as such will have a claim before the living God. But you know, I forsake myself. I don't stop there. There is the positive now. I seek for something greater. I seek for something holy. I seek for something bigger. I seek for something wholesome. But there is the second thing to understand repentance is not just I forsake myself for something bigger and greater and holy and wholesome, but look at the verse, and let him return unto the Lord. I elevate my thoughts. Why? Because without God, my thoughts are earthly. My thoughts are dust. My thoughts are just terrestrial. They are ephemeral. They are transient. Just for here and now, I cannot see beyond myself. But with repentance, I raise my thoughts. If it's possible, I line up my thoughts with God. Oh, God's thoughts are elevated, higher and bigger. But in my smallness, as I repent, as I turn away from my own sins and look unto the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm elevated. That's why I often say in my testimony, I cannot get a greater promotion in this world than being a child of God. That is the greatest promotion. That is the greatest diploma. That is the greatest PhD. A child of God, redeemed by the precious blood of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Every Christian is called in the Bible a saint. Free of charge. God does it as you repent and trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not all. There is a third aspect when we speak about repentance. And look at it in verse 4 and 5. And here, the prophet is speaking to us about someone who will come one day, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. 700 years before Christ came, in verse 4 and 5, Isaiah the prophet is speaking, and he said, the Holy One, the governor, the one who has all power is coming. And Peter, in his sermons in the book of Acts, is telling us, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming. So to turn to God means to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. It means to believe on him. He has been punished. He suffered on the cross of Calvary. He spilled his blood. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for every repenting sinner. That's why if you only turn to yourself and even leave many things back behind you there without turning to God, it is an empty confession. So you turn away from your sin, but you turn to God. And to turn to God means to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's the Savior. He is the bread of life. He is the water of life. And when you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not just adding another God in the list. No. Cut away. Get rid with every other God. He is the only God. Bible says you cannot have two masters. Christ is the only Lord. But let me close with one last heading. We saw the inviter. We saw the urgency. We saw our problem, our plight. But we saw the condition God is putting before us. Look at the blessings now. The blessings are given to us free of charge. It's in verse 7. It's there. And let him return unto me, and he will have mercy upon him. You will receive mercy. You turn to the Lord. He will freely, fully, bountifully, and abundantly forgive you. And he will give you pardon. It is so hard for you and me to forgive. You don't need to read people's mind. Even in our own, let's say, holy place, there are people, their heart is so hard to forgive anyone. But do you see the difference with God? If you really come sincerely, fervently, wholeheartedly to him, God is not reluctant. There is no reluctance in God to forgive. Do you know what you receive if you come to the Lord? Please look at verse 3 of our text. Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. You see, your soul is dormant. But you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you turn away from your sins, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your soul shall live, and you will receive a new life. He gives in abundant measure. All the riches of God are in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the riches of the world put together cannot buy the crowning gift, eternal life. You come to him by faith. There is no better bargain. And you receive mercy. You receive everlasting spiritual sustenance. Lord, how can I come? What can I bring? I have empty hands except my sins. Yes, that's good. You got it right. When you say, I have nothing to offer except my sins. You see, there is no ritual. There is nothing to recite. I ask you as I close, will you delay the salvation of your soul? Will you delay the Savior for another day of sin, for another week of sin, another month of sin, another year. Oh, how could that be? Are we so small while we hear the word of God? No, I don't want to face God without forgiveness of my sins. So please come to Him, turn to the Lord, call upon Him. Why depend on cisterns that do not have water? They have a leak. They cannot quench your thirst. Don't spurn the heavenly banquet for a sin diet, a good meal in comparison to poisonous. This world is poisonous. But God gives you a healthy meal, spiritual meal, heaven, but also answer to your prayers. This is what the Lord does as you come to Him. The God who should condemn you and me eternally has also provided the way to forgiveness. Seek Him. Call upon Him. Find Him. Rejoice in Him. Romans 10 verse 11 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Savior, O Lord, we thank Thee again. We pray that Thou will deal bountifully, abundantly with us. Lord, do not leave us in our state if we are unconverted. Do not leave us to continue this life without finding Thee. And we thank Thee that there is a way. There is a way for salvation. There is a way for pardon and forgiveness. Bless us, Lord. Trouble us if we are unsaved. We ask these mercies in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's close our time together by singing hymn number 562. Hymn number 562. Hark, my soul.